Now, back to Cofield and Company, only on ESPN, Las Vegas.
It was just awkward, man. It was like a weird fight. I mean, there was a moment where I even stopped, like, going in my fight stance. I just started walking forward, like,
but that said,
Trump is here, man. Come on now. We got a convicted felon. Let's put on a show for this man.
Technically, are you one as well? Are you a convicted felon?
No, I pled the two misdemeanors, sir.
Oh, okay.
I could still own a gun and vote and apparently run for president.
Sean Strickland, one of the UFC fighters, cracking some jokes and then looking around the room for laughs.
That's what he does.
No one laughed.
That's what he does.
You know people like that.
Of course.
We know radio people like that.
Of course. Doing their show in front of a bunch of other shows and try to do shtick and then look around. Is anybody laughing at me? No, they're not. They're not funny.
That was our buddy Softy from KJR in Seattle.
I didn't say that. I just said somebody.
It was him. Trying to play to the crowd as we're all doing our shows. We're like, Softy, we don't know what you said. We're not going to laugh. But people need that adulation. By the way, what did Strickland prove in his win over Paulo Costa?
Little.
Okay. What's next for him?
Well, he thinks he's fighting for a title, which he probably will.
This is 185?
Yeah.
And who's the 85 champ?
Sorry, I was looking up something else at the time. He just had the fight against Dricus Duplessis, who is a champion and yet still cannot have his name pronounced correctly by anybody at the UFC, which is hilarious.
DDP?
Yeah.
I won't even try after you said that.
Dricus Duplessis.
I thought I saw Strickland say post-fight that he got ripped off in that fight.
He did.
Okay. How did he get ripped off?
Stop the steal. Steve, that's what he said after the fight was. They didn't want to give the fight to a Trump supporter.
Yeah, because he had done a bunch of different material before.
Yeah.
The fight, and then he said the Canadians got him back.
Yeah. Boy, boy.
Yeah. Everything's rigged.
Yep.
What if he doesn't get that fight? I mean, would you? Okay, would you hold it against Dana White behind the scenes if he was like, you know, Strickland, shut the hell up, like that things are rigged. I'm not saying in that specific case because he might like what he said there, but wasn't he bitching about the gloves before?
Yeah, you know, he's always got an excuse. Well, here's the other thing. I mean,
he's often saying that management at UFC doesn't know what it's doing.
But he's not about Dana. He's always very complimentary of Dana, and I actually think it's going to help him his political things and his leanings. I think he actually is going to get the benefit of the doubt to get a title fight because of that, which he'll never mention. But I also. Do find it somewhat fascinating coming off the heels of, you know, Dana's talk about mental health and, you know, people expressing themselves, that Sean Strickland has openly talked about his mental health and cried openly about things that he's gone through. And that's not a criticism of him. I applaud him for being very open, but interesting that, you know, that had just happened and Strickland didn't say anything about that.
And then the Makhachev guy won at 155. He's going to do what?
He wants to fight. He wants to move up and fight at 170.
Doesn't he have like 14 wins in a row?
Yeah, he's very tough to beat. Okay. He's going to be very tough to beat too.
So they think he can fight Edwards next? Who's the no?
Well, Edwards has a fight coming up.
Champ? Okay.
Edwards is. He has a fight coming up against Bilal Muhammad.
Who he should beat, right?
It's a tough fight.
Okay.
It's pretty close. I think Edwards wins, but I think it's gonna be a good fight. And that's what Makhachev wants to do next, is fight Leon Edwards if he wins that fight.
What if he doesn't get that? They fight at 155 or they put him in like a build fight.
No, they're
like
still
at 170 to, hey, here's someone who's not.
No, if he fights
not doing real well right now.
If he fights at 170, it's for a title. Although I will say the caveat would be if Conor does fight, like that could be potentially something that they do. Just because Makhachev is basically just Khabib Jr. And that's something that Conor has talked about. He wants that fight. He's been talking a lot of trash about Makhachev lately.
But that would require Conor McGregor, who they had to cancel the press conference today in Dublin, and now rumors are swirling like, is he going to make the fight here at the end of June? That would probably require him making the fight, first of all, and then dispatching of Michael Chandler pretty easily to build the hype. And then he's going to go against another wrestling-based dude.
I don't think he wants any part of that, but he's been hyping it.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, I don't think he wants that fight.
No, I don't either.
Dude, just face other strikers for the next three fights. Make your money. Fight once a year.
Yeah.
Don't Don't go back into the cage with like the literal bear or guys who fight bears.
They just announced Nick Diaz is fighting.
Oh. Which, so, by the way, I don't want to. Who's he fighting?
I don't. Well, first of all, I don't think Nick Diaz has won a fight since like 2013. It makes zero sense. So, but he's coming back. He's going to fight. So,
you know what? I don't mind guys like that fighting if they're matched evenly and something to their style. But don't put them. Don't throw them to the sharks when they're old.
It's silly. Well, by the way, your guy Tony Ferguson has a fight coming up too. So,
boy, oh boy,
Vicente Luque is who Nick Diaz is fighting. By the way,
I saw Rogan breaking down what Ferguson looks like over time after all the fight wear.
Yeah,
and he was just talking about him coming into the ring, and he'd like crawl around and like slide on the floor, and they went to one like from 17, and then the most recent one, and he looks like he's back.
Yeah.
My knees.
So taking a lot of damage.
Yeah, if you're an older fighter, I mean, take the paydays, but you know, fight someone who's your style.
Yeah,
especially the strikers. You don't want to fight some freaking grappling beast.
Or put like Tony Ferguson, who now is just a striker, really, against Connor. Like do that, or Nick Diaz. Like do those fights.
So we had a question the other day. You know, speaking of Sean Strickland, who thinks he's a comedian but needs the adulation of the crowd and you know the approval, looks around, no one laughs. Okay, Sean. Last week, you were pushed on your comedic expertise.
Yeah.
Didn't you say Jerry Seinfeld was never funny?
As a stand-up? Yeah, I never thought he was good.
Ooh. Boy, if you were the third guy in the car on Comedians and Cars with Coffee, he'd be livid.
Yeah, would have chimed in.
Because it's his show, but he came across as like, I am the judge of all stand-up.
Yeah. And stand-ups do respect him, for the most part. I mean, I think they have to, but they do speak well.
And then last week we mentioned this Shane Gillis guy
who
has this show Tires, which I actually did not get back to this weekend.
It's so good.
It looks good.
It's good.
It looks good.
If you get offended, don't watch it. But.
Right. But I do think my phone was listening to me again because all of a sudden I got a bunch of Shane Gillis stuff up on social media.
You're welcome.
I don't know if I'm going to watch his stand-up. I'm going to watch the rest of the show first.
His stand-up is incredible.
Top 8 comedians. Is this all time?
No. I think it's now. Like I even put, because I just made a list right off the bat so I could try to start ranking them. And I think the list was at like 47. So I was like, all right, let me try to narrow this down. And I took out guys like Chappelle and Chris Rock and like even Anthony Jeselnik, like guys that have been around because they're not like now. It's too easy. Like you would just have like all time greats as your list. Like it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I didn't want to do that on my list. I take stand-up comedy very, very seriously.
Apparently you do.
I do.
I didn't know there was parameters like this.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, I'm not
old.
I don't want to go.
You made it. No way.
I don't just want to go with guys like people like that. Because that would just be the list. And everybody would be like, yeah, we've seen all them. We know Chappelle's great. We know Chris Rock's great.
And you would still buy tickets to Chappelle or Chris Rock?
I would still go. Yeah, I think so.
Jeselnik's too far gone?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. I there's even like John Mulaney, I was like, eh. Too established.
Did you watch that Netflix show that he was doing live?
Mulaney?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
You gotta watch it. I haven't, but if you're claiming he can't be on the list because he's good and established.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you gonna name like 8 nobodies?
Well, first of all, I still haven't got down to 8. I'm down to 12. I'm down to 12 right now.
Oh my God. You're a nightmare. This request was made days ago.
I know.
By Derek Rhino.
It's just too hard. There's too many great comedians out there right now.
I don't really want to argue about the back end because I probably don't know who they are.
Yeah. So I did put Shane Gillis at 1.
Wow.
His stand-up specials have been tremendous. He's only getting better.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, he's only getting better. I put Nate Bargatze at 2, who also was incredibly established, but I think there's still people that don't know. I have friends that are like, who? Who's that? By the way, he sells out arenas every weekend.
I didn't love the delivery, but keep going.
You don't love Nate Bargatze? He's incredible.
I didn't love the delivery.
This one might just be personal for me. I'm just such a huge fan, and there's some like random connections. But I did put Dan Soder at 3, Mark Normand at 4. I gotta move this down. I don't like who I had here. I'm moving him down the list.
Write this down, everybody. These are all shows you gotta watch, or comedians you gotta watch.
So I'm putting.
Give me advice.
I put Ralph Barbosa. Next, who if you're on TikTok, I'm sure you've seen a lot of Ralph Barbosa. He's very big, very, very good at what he does, and a great backstory too. If you watch some like podcast telling his backstory, really, really good.
You're really sweating on coming up with eight. I can see it.
No,
pressure's on.
It's too many.
No, I mean cutting it down.
Yeah, it's tough.
Final eight.
I did throw Taylor Tomlinson in here.
Oh wow,
number six. She's blowing up. She's very, very good. She's not one of my favorites, but I have to. I think she does very, very well. I have to respect what she's doing, how she's finding success right
comic
now.
Comic expert, comedian expert, Adam Hill, top eight.
This one was tough for me because he probably should not be. He probably should be on the list of people I mentioned earlier. That's too established and too good and beyond this list. But I did put Hannibal Buress on here, who still I think is being discovered by a lot of people, even though he should be on that kind of like higher level of too good to be on this list. He's still being
better known for his comedy or finishing Bill Cosby. Actually, he was the beginning,
a little bit of both,
the end of Bill Cosby, a little bit of both, telling some of the creepy stories, and then all of a sudden it exploded.
Another guy that's on Tires who's very good. A lot of people know him more just for doing crowd work, which is he could do like 3 hours of crowd work.
What is crowd work?
We're just on the stage, just kind of like, hey, what's your deal? What do you do? What are you here with? That kind of stuff. He's very, very good. And you can
comedy flubber.
You can watch that on YouTube. No, but it's not for him. He's like really, really good at it. Most of his clips are crowd work more than his stand-up, but his stand-up's also very good. And I think maybe the best podcaster and podcast guest that's going right now, and that's Stavros Halkias, who's a Baltimore comic, Greek guy, really, really funny, and a lot of different things that he does. And the content is great. And he plays the district manager on Tires.
Okay.
All big right. Dude with the hair, the Greek guy.
Yeah.
It's rough. I threw the rest of the names that I haven't even cut down yet. Sam Morril, who we've had on the show before, who was, I think, very drunk when he was on the show. But he does a lot of stuff in New York. He's a huge sports guy. He actually was hosting like Knicks pre and post stuff on MSG.
This is like a really inside.
He's Levitard's Knicks expert, actually. So he's really, really good. Kim Congdon, I threw on here too, who I referenced the other day on the show. She is the one who wrote most of Nikki Glaser's set at the Tom Brady roast. So I'm going to make sure she gets the credit she deserves for that.
I like this.
Over Nikki Glaser. Ali Sadiq, very, very good. Also, unbelievable backstory. If you want to check out some of his stuff. He's also very established, but really good. And I really enjoyed Joe List. I wanted to get him on here, too. It's way more.
Top eight comedians. Here's number 13.
There's number 14. I literally did have, like, 40-something names on this list when I started. It's what I do. When I talk about, I watch YouTube a lot. I watch just a lot of stand-up and a lot of podcasts, including stand-up. Like, that's – if I'm not watching sports, that's pretty much what I'm doing. So, I could go on and on more, but that's a list that I kind of came up with last night as I was sitting around. Actually, just having watched some Stavros old stuff that I just watched, and I was like, God, this is so good.
You mentioned podcasts a lot.
Yeah. But it's YouTube podcasts.
Are these comedians capable of bringing the laughs on Darren Waller and Kelsey Plum? So we're not getting great news on Darren Waller.
Well, maybe.
But that song was funny.
It's catchy. I listened to it so many times this weekend. It's just been in my head.
You kept listening to it this weekend.
Time to heal. Yeah, I loved it. It was great.
It looks like he's going to retire.
Well, they think he's going to retire. I don't think anybody knows.
Sources close to the Giants saying that they believe he's going to retire. And they drafted, what, Theo Johnson in the fourth. Bellinger from, what,
Centennial?
Palo?
Centennial?
And San Diego State. Still on a roster. He was a high draft pick, relatively. And reading on this today, I'm not a Giants expert, but experts saying that the Giants were sort of bracing for this. That's why they went Johnson in the draft.
Yeah, I think so. I think they were preparing for this possibility.
But he was here, right, over the weekend?
He was. He lives here.
Oh, he does live here. That's right.
Yeah.
That's why it was so convenient. Do we see pictures of him at a park?
It was Palo Verde. Bellinger is Palo Verde. I thought it was something.
Sometimes I'm right.
Yeah.
Didn't we see pictures of Waller and Carr working out before last season at a local park?
Yeah.
Private event.
Yeah, both still.
Carr put it on IG.
We're not allowed to do it in any like official
capacity. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're still, you know, they still somewhat get along and live here part time.
Okay. So I'm reading here that. Wait, Waller played a show?
He did.
At a yoga festival, or did yoga at a yoga festival?
He did a show.
He did a show?
He did.
Does he have a full show?
He put an album 3 years ago. The people are talking about like this song, that. Like he just became a musician. He has, in fact, he has multiple out. He has a full
show?
Album. It was a Saturday, supposed to be at 5:15. He took the stage around 6:05.
That's actually not that bad.
No.
Oh man, if I had known.
Well, it was pricey.
Oh really?
It was.
Because
it wasn't for his show.
Do you get yoga with it?
Yeah, it was a whole. It was 3 days of yoga, but it was also like instructions from famous yogis. It was also like meditation DJs.
I feel like this is like a sitcom episode.
Yeah.
You, Adam Hill, the writer, having to go and do a bunch of yoga to try to get close to Darren Waller.
I didn't do that.
And just scenes of you breaking yourself in half and in pain.
I reached out to some PR people.
Laugh.
Yeah. I reached out to some PR people who didn't really know what was going on.
Okay.
They were like, he's doing his own thing. He announced it. So this is a festival that had been planned for months. He announced like a few hours out, like, yo, I'm going to go I'll drop by and do a set. Anybody that wants to go out. So you couldn't really just go buy tickets to see his set. You had to be attending the yoga festival. It was at Area 15. So I, of course, went down there. I was trying to talk to him. I will say credit to Area 15 security. They are everywhere. They are very secure in that
place.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
I think there was more security people in the venue than there was attendees.
Okay.
And I don't mean at the yoga festival. I mean the property.
It sounds like tighter security at the yoga festival than at the USC event with Trump there.
Yeah.
Because actually some people were able to jump over the barrier.
Yeah, I think so.
Not at him, but like across the cage.
Yeah. And I was trying
yoga festival with intense security.
No, Area 15 has intense security.
Okay.
The yoga festival was just kind of leasing space from the back corner.
Okay.
Where you can go out there. But I was trying to get into the show. I didn't want to pay. I think it was over $100. I didn't want to pay to get in.
To go see Waller?
No, to go to the yoga festival.
Well, but you get to see Waller. So it's like the price of going to see Waller and maybe getting a story is like 100 and something.
Yeah. And I'm 99.999% sure if he saw me, he would talk to me.
Oh.
But I thought about paying it. I didn't.
You should have paid it.
But I did try to outsmart the system because I figured out where a performer would have parked.
Stop.
So
you were this intense?
Yeah, they would have.
The parking lot?
They would have. So there was security back there also, obviously. So there's two places I could pick to stand. One, he would have to walk by if he was one of six cars. The other, if he was one of the other 30 cars, he would have to walk by. So I picked the 30. That's playing the odds, of course.
Happened?
I watched him walk out the other door.
So he went to the six?
I went to the wrong. He was one of six, and it was the first car, and he jumped in. And I was like,
Did you actually run?
No, because I was like, I'm not going to run up on somebody in their car.
That's a little creepy.
It was just if he walked by me and I was like, hey, what's up? I've been fine.
Oh, what a bad break.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
hoping to see if he was actually retiring.
Yeah.
But I definitely wanted to get his thoughts on. I wanted to talk to him about his album. I love it. I had it ready on my phone. I was like, yo, I'm listening to it.
That would have been the end. That's the beginning of the conversation.
That's all I really wanted to talk about. I would have had to do my job and ask about retiring.
Right.
But I really just wanted to talk about the album. And
you said he was with someone?
Just a friend of his.
Faye Kelsey?
No, it was just a guy. Okay. It was a friend.
Are you gonna do a piece on Faye Kelsey?
No.
You don't wanna hunt her down to find out who she is and her involvement.
I don't. She's just an actress, I'm sure.
Are you sure?
I assume so.
Okay.
But yeah, I was hoping.
We had a local reporter last week who was insulted that Faye Kelsey wasn't as good looking as real Kelsey.
Deleted, so we don't know that.
It got
for
deleted.
Sure.
What do you mean? You know that for sure. You showed it.
Somebody else could have posted it, and then
what?
Then the person found it and deleted it. We don't know. Yeah. Once it's deleted, that's in the
We're not naming anyone.
I know. It was unfortunate. I was hoping to talk to Darren. And
he
put out at least a snippet of a new rap song he has coming out. And some people texted me today like, now he's trying to rap and sing? And I was like, no, he is a rapper. He has multiple albums as a rapper.
Adam, who knows Waller's work.
Yes. And he just so happened to put out a song like when, Lil Wayne put out How to Love. Or like Mace put out, Jealous Guys. Like those are when rappers try to sing, and they're not great. Like Drake obviously can do the crossover and do both, but when rappers try to put out like slow songs and sing, sometimes it's humorous. I think that's kind of what happened with Darren. But he is a legitimately okay rapper for an athlete. He did have some pretty good lines on the new one, like about getting carried like Byron Leftwich, the reference. Okay. So when he was in college and his teammates had to carry him down the field. That was good. I like that.
On the way back, let's start hyping up the NBA Finals. As last week, Adam was very, very, very high on Luka, smearing the good name of Larry Bird. We'll have to bring that one back. But Jay Williams, former Duke player, not so high on Luka. I mean, high on Luka, but had to point out a couple obvious things that maybe we should downgrade Luka a little bit before we crown him the next great of the NBA.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
Your friends being like, music sucks now. No, man, you suck now, you know? Music's the same as it's ever been. You just used to be a teenager with no responsibilities so you could enjoy it. Once you've compared car insurance quotes, I don't practice Santeria doesn't hit the same, you know? And most songs are about love. When you're a teenager, you believe it.
Cofield, Adam Hill, Battleborne Broadcast Center. So let's start hyping up the NBA Finals. We started a little bit, maybe not the way everyone wants us to, if you want hardcore analytics and all that stuff. Probably not the place to get it. Storylines are where this series is at. You fired up for it?
Not really.
Why not?
I mean...
You're not an NBA guy anyway.
No, not really. And
you don't like the test of Luka hitting the biggest stage now and potentially winning a title in the comeback of Kyrie Irving against the dynamic duo of the Celtics?
No, the only part I care about is City of Boston versus Kyrie.
Yeah.
It's the only part I care about.
Which I'm not so much into. I think I need to go back and, I don't know, I got to get a refresher on that.
They're not going to welcome him, that's for sure.
Okay, so nasty Boston fans, that's a good angle.
Sure. It's the only thing I really fired up for.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, what, can we start over?
Let's not. We had a tech.
No, we need to start over. I'm extremely fired up because I think the Mavericks are a great story. I think they're the best organization in sports.
Wait, what happened here? What was that switch?
I forgot. I think they're incredibly well run.
Oh, stop.
Very, very good organization.
You really have to do this now?
And I very much hope that they win.
Oh my God. Could you write a column slamming the Mavericks? Would you feel uncomfortable? Seriously, would you feel uncomfortable?
It's not really a local, angle.
Derek Jones?
Sure. Would that mean what I would slam Derek Jones?
Derek Jones to Luka to the NBA Summer League. Somehow tie that together.
I don't really see that.
There's got to be something. I'm going to find something.
I am out of this. Squarely in the corner of the Mavericks.
You're not getting out of this.
And I am rooting for them to win, as everyone should.
Let's talk about Luka, the player, and if he, a lot of people say he's a top three player in the NBA. Jason Williams this morning on Get Up was like, he's kind of a one-trick pony, really good, but where's the defense?
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
So a little more here on the NBA Finals, and we'll get the grab bag. I do want to use Griffin, if you're getting this. I do want to hear from David Chang in a second. We good on that? Thumbs up? Good? So I like your angle. Kyrie against the Boston fans. As I said last week, it should be everyone against the Boston fans. Do yourself a favor. I told you I've been watching Dynasty on Apple TV.
Okay.
Now, New England fans will respond to what I'm going to say by saying, oh, but that never happened. There's a good refresher on Spygate. It will, if you've lost your zeal for disliking the Patriots and Belichick, and Kraft to a certain extent, you got to watch it. I know this has been out for a while, but I'm finally catching up on it. I have trouble watching it for too many episodes because they are winning. Like, you're getting the first part of the winning through episode 3 and 4. And in 4, they're finally getting to the magical 2007 season that ended in glorious fashion when they couldn't beat the Giants and David Tyree. And you see Randy Moss have to endure feeling like it's a dream to get to the Patriots and then not winning the Super Bowl. But boy, oh boy, I forgot how they behaved during Deflategate.
Yeah.
And the arrogance. And then just like, we're not answering questions anymore. And then the league cooperating and destroying the tapes. And I didn't remember what Goodell said when he destroyed the tapes. It was the most cockamamie excuse you'll ever see.
Of course.
Just ridiculous. And then you're reminded, like, was any of this legit? Like, how much of an edge did they get by cheating, and how long were they cheating for? And then there was a story, this should piss you off, then there was a story that came out right before the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl where the 2002 Rams were like, yeah, they videoed us.
Yeah.
And then Patriots were like, what? This is outrageous! And, you know, I never had feelings about Jonathan Kraft, but F him. Because he was part of it. He was part of it. The Boston Herald published a story at the time that, hey, they may have recorded well before they got caught, you know, going after the Jets and Mangini. And he took a shot at the Boston Herald, like, oh, we're gonna sue the hell out of them and take their paper if it was worth anything. All right, Johnny. Okay. They all got wrapped up in this. Like, you do something wrong, you can get in the cycle of like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Oh, everyone's Italian. And like, just believe that you didn't do anything wrong. And they did.
Of course they did. And
despicable.
Well, now Brady admitted it at least. So we've got that. We've got that part.
He joked about Deflategate, not Spygate.
True. Well, I mean, I think it was all of it. And yeah. Yes, things they're accused of, they did. And they absolutely did all these things that they were accused of, for the most part, almost all of them, and probably a whole lot more, to get to their titles. I don't think there's much question about that. It's funny that I know it's time healing, but people don't get as mad about their dynasty as people do about the Astros. The Astros clearly were cheating too, and people are still furious at them.
Yep.
The Patriots have kind of moved on.
But it's super similar. You know, like, if you think about it, a lot of these situations, what the hell is it? Oh, I was watching.
I know people that love the Patriots and think that they're being persecuted, and they hate the Astros.
Yep.
Like, what?
Same thing.
Worse, way worse.
And in both fan bases, it's that great line. Righteous indignation from someone completely and totally in the wrong. Like, don't turn it on us.
It's wild.
Your team cheated. I'm sorry you're tired of hearing about it. It doesn't go away.
Yeah. Well, especially because you're still – now it's time to, like, reflect on all the greatness. Like, oh, all these titles. Well, no, it's not. It's also time to reflect on how you got them.
Here's the other thing. They start talking Spygate. And by the way, one of the things you've never seen before, at least I hadn't seen a whole lot of it, is that the nerd in the basement.
Yeah.
Ernie Adams is featured like heavily throughout this thing.
Sure.
And Ernie Adams pulls the, I'm not talking about it, Spygate. I'm like, you son of a. Belichick goes at the beginning of the documentary from speaking and enunciating. And he's pretty clear. Oh, they bring up Spygate. And he's like, he goes back to mumbling.
Of course. It's wild.
Oh, God.
You said that's on Apple TV or Amazon?
Apple TV. I cannot stand people who lie and then turn it on others. And that's why I've had trouble getting past Pete Rose, even though he's 100 years old now, and the Hall of Fame stuff, and Lance Armstrong.
Armstrong's
the righteous indignation from him.
He's the worst.
I'll give you a smaller one. And I know you were doing shows with me at the time. I watch a lot of food shows. I've been watching Top Chef. It's in Milwaukee. And they're like, oh, special guest on this episode has a restaurant. He's going to be a judge. Here's Ryan Braun. I was like, I really disliked him.
Yeah.
Because he was another one of those guys with that stupid pompadour hair and just the look in his face and he's going after the freaking test collector. I'm like, no.
You did it.
You're not forgiven. How dare you turn it on the rest of us for asking questions?
I will say, not to totally turn it against, turn it around, but you said it was on Apple TV. I had a screaming match with my television last night and nearly canceled Apple TV.
Here we go.
Because, as you know, I've been saying I'm not watching much, but I am trying to watch some things now.
Right. You're back.
I haven't watched a movie in a long time.
He's got a 6-week period where he's not working around the
clock. Yeah. I'm trying to get a bunch of stuff in.
You gotta work now. This is what it needs to work.
I've got to get a bunch of stuff in before training camp starts. And I'm like, all right, I've been wanting to watch this movie. An ad popped up for it, like on Instagram, that it just came to Apple TV. I was like, you know what? I wanted to watch it. It's 2 a.m. Let me throw this on. It's only 2 hours long. It's perfect. This is the time. Watch it. I go to Apple TV. It's an extra $6.
Oh, no. What do they have, like a plus?
Yeah, to buy it, it's like $20. But to rent it, it's like $6.
This is crazy.
What are we doing? I'm paying for all these services. Why are we paying additional? The movie just came to Apple TV. Okay. Let me watch the movie.
All right.
I was incensed.
Let's get to the official grab bag portion of the show as we close things out.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. One.
By the way, Rotten Tomatoes, terrible reviews.
And
I don't care because I love the cast. Yeah. Actually, a comedian who wasn't even on my 47. I think she's great. I love her. It's her first movie. I was like, okay, let me give this a try because there's a bunch of comics in it. Bill Burr's in it. Bobby Lee's in it. A bunch of people are in it. I'm going to watch it. I know everybody says it's terrible. I don't care. I'm going to give it a try. Oh, $6 extra. Thanks.
This is real, folks. You can see the rage in his eyes.
Infuriating.
He's so annoyed. So one of the shows I advise you to watch, because it's got a lot of comedians, is that David Chang live cooking show. I think all the live episodes are done, so now they're all up there. I don't expect you to be able to watch it inside of 3 days.
There's only one I even saw that I was like, oh, I'll watch this. The rest of them, I was like, the guests are awful.
You got to give it a chance. But one of the things that he mentioned on an episode that I thought you might like is he started talking about Keith Lee. Fire this.
The person I probably do follow, Keith Lee, I think he's the most important figure in food criticism today.
Why is that?
He's talking about restaurants that have been historically underrepresented in the media.
Mm.
Black-owned, family-owned businesses. And he's shining a light, and it's like real reaction.
You love Keith Lee.
Love him.
And I'm not saying you discovered him, but you're one of the first people I know, because he was tied to MMA, too.
Kevin Lee is a fighter I was very, closely following and talking to a long time. It's his brother.
Yeah.
And I think, by the way, I think Kevin Lee's getting into the food business.
Be careful.
I know.
Big shoes to fill.
It is. I think he's trying to own a restaurant. I think
oh,
so.
Oh, no. Well, Keith.
It'll be great if Keith trashes it. And yeah, I've known Keith Lee since he was very, very young, like 16 or 17.
What a great story.
And yeah, he blew up, and it's been great. And I completely agree. It's been true. And I think the biggest thing is that he's been so genuine. And then I know, recently he got kind of upset because he made an order for some food, and he obviously used a fake name like he always does, but somehow his credit card got tied to it.
We're going to get to this.
Okay.
This is where we're going, because I saw that as well. Here's a little more David Chang, and this food critic stuff has always fascinated me.
Most of the food critics today went to an Ivy League school, and they have a certain amount of this or that. I'm friends with a lot of them, and they're amazing. But they're writing for an audience that is relatively small and privileged.
Snooty people writing for a snooty audience.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, and I don't know that the mission was ever help local businesses, but it damn well wasn't destroy them.
Well, I also feel like, and I don't know this for sure, but I think that there's a lot of them that use who they are to get better service and better tables and better food,
free
and then
food.
Call ahead and like, hey, I'm coming in to review your restaurant, and then they don't get an actual genuine experience.
Yep. Last one on David Chang talking about Keith Lee, former MMA fighter. I mean, people know who he is. He's blown up. David Chang says the most influential guy in the country when it comes to food critique.
What Keith Lee is doing is, I hate to use the word democratic, but it is. And nobody's trying to co-opt them. He's just like, I'm eating my food, trying to do it without any bias. Pick it up. I'm eating in my car. I'm giving you a real reaction. Isn't that what a f***ing review should be?
I love what's happened on the internet. And again, this is another reason, like on TikTok or Instagram, and there's a lot of paid for reviews and ads and slick packages, which I also think is really cool, right? Straight to the consumer, show me a bunch of food. I don't need the snooty guy who's probably never going to go to the local taco joint.
Right.
But those are the places I go to. So I want to see someone show me some pictures, give me a review, take it for what it's worth. And I don't think Keith Lee. was ever malicious in any of the spots.
No.
Well, you know, right now there's a big, what the hell's going on with the prices thing? And consumers and social media influencers have now turned their attention on big fast food. And like, what the hell's going on here? Because what's happening is we're seeing in some cases that you get a pretty exorbitant rise in price, but it appears some of them are also at the same time practicing shrinkflation. So you pay more and you're getting less. And sometimes it's less in quality. Other times it's less in portion. And one of the places that's getting a real whack job right now is Chipotle. And Keith Lee actually reviewed Chipotle in the last week or so. Didn't go well.
No, it didn't go well. And
that's the kind of thing. If you're a CEO of a company, that should scare the hell out of you.
Of course.
Because I have seen some things up, and maybe I shouldn't be so influenced by this, but I've seen some businesses reviewed some different places and seen stories about them. And I'm like, I'm out. And like, when I'm out, I'm out. Now, everyone's not like me. I'm very dedicated to, like, if I'm done ski, I'm done. So I don't know how they deal with this one, but if David Chang's right and you're getting a bad review, and then a lot of it's based on value and portion size, oh boy.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And, you know, it's the debate. And I saw actually saw some business people talking about it too. And they were really, some from the business side, really ripping on a lot of the corporations for continuing to have record profits and yet higher prices for the customer and less things, because they're like, they'll do it. And this was a problem that started, a lot of it started during the pandemic, yeah. Which was, hey, look, people are going to accept, you just have to pay more. Yeah. There's supply chain issues. You have to pay more. We're going to give you less, but it just is what it is. And people are like, oh, awesome. Okay. Like,
we're getting something.
Cool. We're still getting something. Okay. That's cool.
Then we go back to normal.
But that was based on, well, we know that when this is done,
right,
it's going to go away.
All right.
And the business was like, no, you paid more for less. Like, we're going to continue doing that. And we're going to make even more money because now there's not an issue. And now inflation shrinking every single month. Why aren't the prices shrinking with it? Because the businesses know that they can continue to do that. And so it is, you know, when you point out, hey, this is what it should be, and this is where the price should be. And if it was this, you would still have your highest profits ever. And yet the customers would get more. They don't care because people will pay it.
Have you seen people going to grocery stores and making sure they weigh like meat on the scale on the register? And they're like, wait a second. This says it's this much. The label says it's this much more.
I've not seen that.
That's another one that's out there. Now, but again, I don't want to be gullible. I think there's a certain work element to everything. The consumer can do works. I just know in that particular place making burritos, I've seen multiple videos of them going down a line. I almost think the employees went like in on it because it's so ridiculous. As they're making it, they're like, scoop.
Yeah, two
like,
pieces like, of chicken.
Like, and you're like, can I get some more? And they're like, two more.
Yeah.
So, but I trust in Keith Lee.
Yeah.
I hope he'll never be sullied by, you know, fixes and works. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he'd go out of his way to go after that place.
He's not going to be sullied. I mean, he might be like tricked.
Right.
But he is.
Oh, so the point of your mention earlier is that he called him with a fake name. And then how do they ID him for real?
Well, because it was attached to his credit card because he was paying for it through his credit card, but he used a fake name on the thing. But then when it printed out the receipt, when it goes in like onto the food, it said Keith Lee, and he was like upset. He's like, I don't know how this happened. I wish it didn't, because he didn't want them to know that it was him.
Well, but did it affect anything?
Like, it seemed to, because he said, because he was actually given like a good review to most of the stuff, and he was like, this could just be because they knew it was me.
But yeah, but then he did complain about some portion size.
Well, I think that was a different video. They did multiple videos.
Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye on for that. Yeah. So.
Well, there was one. I know in the salad, he had like a bowl, and he couldn't like find chicken.
Yeah, that was it.
He's like, oh, boy. Yeah.
I think there's something else. There's people are very angry about vinaigrette. I don't know all these restaurants, but when I say it, I'm like, oh, wait. They charge them for vinaigrette? It used to be free.
Yeah.
Would that not make you mad? You just got mad about $6 extra on Apple TV for a movie.
But it's not even paying for things. It's more just the... Why are you advertising the movies here? If I'm paying every month for this service, it should be part of it. It's not some blockbuster film. That's what really made me mad. I would understand if it was some movie everybody loved and it was a blockbuster and everybody's trying to watch. I don't even know if anybody else has watched this movie.
This show went through this and you tried to fix it. But what was the movie you wanted me to watch?
Oh, Pistol?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I went to whatever service, and I was like, oh, it's like $7.
Yeah.
But then you bought it for me.
Still didn't watch it.
I still didn't watch it. So. I don't. What did you buy me? A DVD?
I think so.
I don't think I have a DVD.
I got it. I think my cousins got it. They're obviously very young. Like they're 9 and 6. It's their favorite movie. They can't stop watching it.
No way.
Yeah.
And I didn't give it a chance.
Yeah.
Someday. That one's going on like 3 years now, though. That's pretty bad. Last time in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Why did this 15-year-old sponsor exemption for Rocket Mortgage Classic PGA event catch your eye?
I just think it's interesting. A 15-year-old's playing in a PGA tournament. He's a best amateur player. He won, you know, Player of the Year amateur last year. Did very well at a Corn Ferry Tour now? The minor league tour, whatever. He did very well. So this tournament, Michigan, the Rocket Mortgage Classic next month is like, yep, he's in. 15 years old. Let's see what he does.
How will the golfers deal with that? Will they go full Fuzzy or Taurasi or
mad? Well, I think if he's like the worst player in the tournament and everybody says, he's so awesome, I think they'll probably freak out.
What if he's slowing him down?
Yeah.
Pace of play is very important to these guys. What if he touches a blade of grass?
I don't think it's that. I think it's more if he gets hyped up and the whole media is like, he's the best player in the world. And like he's in last place. He's the best in the world, though. That's what
I would think, though, with a 15-year-old, you could probably just let it happen and deal with it. You shouldn't get that upset. I get your point on Caitlin Clark. Yeah. That she's been pretty hyped. I'll say the jury's still out on her. You said she sucks.
No, she will be great. She has sucked.